Right now you're listening to Otherwise, and as I promised there, we're going to be hearing a little bit about Gandhi and his writings on Indian self-rule just now. We're going to be hearing about the trials and tribulations of figuring out father, that's from Athalie Oosterbroek. But first, next in our Her Heritage series, which technically comes to an end tomorrow in this Heritage Month, so I suspect it may not be the last time that we'll hear about how women's backgrounds and their heritage have affected their lives. But in this penultimate one, we're talking to Athalie Oosterbroek, who in a book called Figuring Out Father has taken an in-depth look at the ups and downs of her own life, using it as a means of creating a guide to working through codependent relationships, because Athalie herself is a numerologist. She is she's somebody who's done a great deal of thinking around relationships and all the issues that go with it, and are they truly not many, many. We have her on the line. Hi, Athalie.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you, Paul, talking to me, and a warm welcome to all our listeners.
Indeed, and I feel as if I know you quite well, having read your book, in which you have really bared your soul. Tell us what you had in mind with this book, because I said there that you're also a metaphysician, you're a spiritual teacher, you're a professional numerologist, so this is not just about you wading through your childhood.
No, although initially when I started writing the book, it was actually about 10 years ago. I had just sold my ad agency and I didn't really know what I was going to be doing next. And I was also at a really conflict-saturated point in my relationship and my 20-year marriage, and I didn't know what was going on. So a friend of mine suggested that I started doing some journaling. At the same time, I wasn't yet at that point a numerologist or a spiritual mentor or coach. I was actually myself busy being mentored by many and going on a lot of esoteric and metaphysical workshops, reading a lot of philosophical works. And so this all was an impetus for me to start journaling. That's where it began. And once I began journaling, a friend of mine actually had a publishing house, and she looked at some of the stuff that I had written and said, well, actually, I'd like to publish this book. So I didn't even realize at that point it was going to be a book, but then it started becoming a book. And actually then shortly after I'd finished writing it, or what I thought was finished, of course the story was actually at that point far from over. My husband said actually he's not that keen on that book being out there at that point in time. So I dropped it. And then I just resurrected it actually last year, by which stage the story had actually completed itself. And, you know, it's amazing the divine right timing that happens in these things. So then I suddenly did actually have a book on my hands.
The pivotal title of the book and the pivotal figure in the book is your father. And it's interesting that you say that you were you moved on from advertising to go into sort of metaphysics in some sort of part of the journey. But your father was also in advertising, your late father. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yes, well, my dad, he actually started as a journalist down on a newspaper in Port Elizabeth when I was a little girl. And then when we moved up to Johannesburg, his parents had died and left him a bit of inheritance, and that gave him the funds to start his own agency, Tyrrell Oosterbroek & Associates, which he ran for decades, up until the time of his death, in fact. And, you know, actually a lot of my family are involved in the media. It's just been something we've been involved in. But really what happened for me is in the year 2000, or late 1999, I just came to a realization that not only was I not really that interested in business, but that I specifically had an issue internally with doing a job or earning my living or something that encouraged people to buy more and have more things. Because my very first forays into spiritual understandings was through the Native American philosophy, which is centers in many ways on creating as light a footprint as possible. So I had a real deep inner conflict with doing a job that was really against my core value systems. So that's why I sold up and got out of the business. I did actually work for my father for about, well, altogether maybe 6-7 years at various times. And in fact, it was in working with him that things really came to a head and created this sort of defining moment that really destroyed the faint vestiges of a relationship that we've managed to tack together.
It
was quite a cataclysmic event that really set a lot of things in motion for me. And it was really when I had to face the fact that, well, my father told me specifically that he not only did he not love me, but he didn't even like me. So, you know, that's a very big thing for any person to have to take on, because really the love of parent is a birthright.
And it was must have been doubly sore to hear it as you were a woman. Many of your family were in media, and it's if I hadn't already mentioned it, your brother in fact was the photographer Ken Oosterbroek, and I know that you haven't dealt with your feelings about Ken and his death in the book because too sore to go there, so we won't go there right now. But quite
I'm
a story.
Hoping in my next book I promised my editor that in my next, so this book is very much focusing on the masculine aspect, so that's father and then my relationships with other men. And I'd long had this idea of I wanted to write an autobiography, because I have really got such a fascinating family. Both my parents are eccentric. We lived a rather non-traditional life, and my family is filled with characters. So I had wanted to actually write an autobiography, or that had been in my mind for a very long time. And although this book is autobiographical, it only really deals with one section in a way. So in my next book that's busy being written in my head at the moment, called Managing Mother, in that I want to go more into childhood, and I have promised my editor that I will write about Ken. But when she asked me to write more into the previous book, as you just said, it was all just, the loss of Ken was enormous for me, enormous.
I went to see the Bang Bang Club the other day, of course, which is... Yes, indeed. But let's leave all that aside, because I feel that, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I just want to come back to your father, and that's really quite a statement, and I read it and I thought, sure, that he actually said that he didn't love you, he didn't even like you. It seems that, seeking your father's approval has been something that's been with you all throughout your life. And which is, this is a Her Heritage series that we've been running. And just thinking, to what extent did that affect your life? Knowing, even from a little girl, it seems that you knew that he wasn't really that keen on you.
Yeah, well, as a child, what I realized was that he wasn't really interested. He didn't come to any of my ballet performances.
You were one of six siblings. Was it just you, or was it all of you?
All of us. He just wasn't on that level in any way an involved father. And I think that what I studied a bit of psychology as well, and a lot of self-mastery stuff, and we do in many ways get our sense of self-worth from our parents, and then afterwards we have to confirm or establish that for ourselves through our own actions and experiences. But if we start off not even having that, then it does leave you feeling that, well, if my own parent doesn't even love me, then I must be pretty grotty. One goes and looks for that love in all the wrong places and in all the wrong ways, and one really sets up, well, I certainly set up my relationships for failure through looking for things that were not appropriate. And only many, many years later did I come to understand this, and also then the causal link between that and then codependent relationships, where your relationships are based on trying to earn somebody's love.
Yes, sorry, I was sort of trying to interrupt you there, but I think you sort of almost answered the question. I was going to say, did your difficulty of relationship that you had with your father impact on other relationships that you had with other men? I mean, it's a cliche to say, were you looking for your father? But looking back, and as somebody who's obviously done a great deal of thinking inside their own head and mind, do you feel as if that might have been what you were after?
With hindsight, absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. I interpreted everything that the men in my world did as a reflection on me. I took everything personally, and I made all sorts of assumptions around that, and then I kind of twisted myself inside out, trying to get approval. And of course, no man can keep up approval. It's not even healthy to do that. And then that, of course, set the stage for me to go and do a lot of things that I'm not proud of today. But I understand now, you know, I've had to come to a place of absolute forgiveness for myself, for what all I did in an effort. I don't know that it's looking for your father. For me, I see it as more just looking for male approval, male love, a male to say, you're all right, or you're lovely, you're great, you know. And now, of course, I realize that we shouldn't be looking anywhere outside of ourselves. We need to be looking, we need to come to love and accept ourselves. That is also so cliched and said so often, but it is absolutely true. And in fact, I took what I saw with that as well, as it goes one step further, that when you have love of self, that is when you can begin to make a real relationship with love of the Creator, because we are part of Creator. So it's sort of this final Rubicon. And I do feel in many ways that although my particular journey to that was through the dysfunctional relationship with my father that then set up all these dysfunctional relationships with men, I do feel that for much of humanity, this journey to come, becoming one with the Creator Source or God or whatever name you like to ascribe to that force does have to begin with a love of self, an acceptance of self, an acceptance of all that we are.
Just finally, in figuring out Father, although you've told a true story, your own story, I think that you're hoping that it will be useful to other people beyond your own story. I mean, you've got sections which are sort of guidance sections. You've got tips towards healing. There's all sorts of things. Is that your intention, really, for it to be a book that's beyond your own story?
Absolutely. You know, I don't have a publisher who paid me to write this book, so I've had to make a very, very big investment in it. And the reason I decided to do that is because in my coaching, a lot of the time there's only so much that I can say in an hour to somebody. And I became aware that I had this vast, this whole lot of knowledge that I had carefully teased out and put into logical sequences that helped me so much. And I thought, well, if I can put it into book form, then at least after a session I could say to somebody, look, there is so much more I would have liked to have taught you, but perhaps if you read my book. And like you say, in the book, a lot of it is my story, but each section I have devoted a bit of space to the fundamental metaphysical principles around the different topics that I'm dealing with, like forgiveness and acceptance, understanding, all of those things. And then I've also, at the end of each chapter, given practical tips. And in every instance, they are ones that I used that helped me. So I know they are effective. I'm hoping that it's both a practical guide, and I have gathered from a lot of my readers that they love the story and they kind of tend to gallop through the story and then perhaps go back and really consider some of the deeper metaphysical principles that I'm attempting to convey.
Athalia Oosterbrook, very best of luck with Managing Mother, which will be the one that's been busy being written in your head. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nancy. May I just mention one more thing, that the book is not available in bookstores, so it would be got from me directly. May I give my email address?
I'm going to give www.quickfox.co.za.
Or Kalahari.com. Some people are battling to find QuickFox, but www.kalahari.com, my book is available from them and from www.redpaperbooks.
Super.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And thank you to all the listeners.
Athalia Oosterbrook, and if you'd like to get hold of the book, it is called Figuring Out Father, Kalahari.com, if you'd like to try it. Equally, quickfox.co.za. Check both Kalahari.com or quickfox.co.za. And tomorrow will be the last in our Her Heritage series, our official Her Heritage series that we've been running here on Otherwise throughout the month of September. And our last candidate is poet Natalia Malavazzi, so do join us for that. You're listening to Otherwise. Stay with us.
Otherwise.